Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. In every pair of Tecovas boots, you can expect handmade quality, first wear comfort, and timeless Western style. Whether you're looking to elevate a casual look or add a refined flair that'll draw both eyes and compliments, Tecovas boots will do the trick. The best way to shop for boots is at your local Tecovas store, where you'll be greeted by the smell of fresh leather and a friendly smile. Come on in, grab a cold one, get fitted by a pro, and shop the latest styles. And if you're planning to hit the road, Tecovas' ever-growing lineup of rugged and full-grain leather bags will get you where you're headed in style and are built to last decades. Visit Tecovas.com, that's Tecovas.com, and don't go gently, y'all. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Tuesday, June 11, 2024. Thank you for downloading. We have an absolute banger of a solo podcast today. Thank you for joining me. Dan Hurley stays put. Celts take 2-0 lead. Stars who aren't stars get on the party bus. Thailand is looking better all the time. Oppo World, Tomlin extension. Remember when Twitter was doomed? Hey, Titsworth, get in the game. And my affinity for Notorious J.A.Y. Just a few of the topics I'll be running through here in about 30 minutes, give or take. Thank you for settling in for the next little bit here. Let's start with Dan Hurley stays put. The Lakers went after their man, but did not get their man. As the two-time defending national champ, head coach of the year, Dan Hurley stays at UConn after turning down what was reportedly a $70 million deal from the Los Angeles Lakers. And the Lakers are getting crushed right now. 6 years, $70 million. It's a lot of money. But I had forgotten just how expensive NBA coaches had gotten. And how much guys like, you know, Ty Lue was making now with the Clippers. He got lowballed by the Lakers big time in a deal that was supposedly just to basically come and coach LeBron. And it offended Ty Lue. You got guys like in Detroit, Monty Williams, who gets fired by the Suns and signs a massive deal because Detroit really believes in him. The NBA coaching pay scale now is upwards of $17 million a year. And I don't think it's, I think it's crazy. I don't think these guys are nearly worth it. It's funny that in baseball, manager salaries are declining in almost every case, except for the case of Craig Counsell, who single-handedly, I'm sure according to agents that represent skippers, wants to bend the curve back up again. But only in baseball is the value of coaches going down. In every other sport, it's going up. Even in sports like the NBA, where it's a players' league, we know that. Yet the coaches still get a ton of money. And the job of an NBA coach is such that you've got to be good with your X's and O's, obviously. You have to develop players that you have on your roster in your system into usable parts and components of your team. You have to advocate with your GM, like, we need this guy. We don't need that guy. Let's make a move here. You have to manage a douchebag owner, no doubt, like the likes of which include Wick Grosbeck, the owner of the Celtics, who got into it taunting Luka Doncic in game two. Doncic said that when he was talking smack back after a big bucket, he didn't even know who it was. They're like, you know that was the owner? And he's like, yeah, no. Couldn't pick Wick Grosbeck out of Duke Ellington's band. He's a douchebag. Matt Ishbia is a douchebag. All these new blood, new money, billionaire NBA owners, for the most part, are douchebags. So you've got to manage them as well. And then you got to placate the stars. And if you were Dan Hurley, you're going to go to a Laker team with LeBron, who is panicking against the tides of time, trying to get one more ring that's not a bubble championship with the Lakers. And a roster that, yes, at the top with him and Anthony Davis healthy, is formidable, but they need more pieces to it. And then there's the Bronny James situation, where I just wonder if the Lakers said in no uncertain terms, look, Dan, not only is this the most money we can give you, but you're going to end up with Bronny James, and you're going to have to help coach him. And maybe that's what Dan Hurley said. Okay, yeah, no, I'm not going to jump into that. But at least he listened. Here's the problem for the Lakers, because they now look stupid. They're going to have to go back and, I guess, get the podcaster, J.J. Redick, pull him out of the booth from ESPN. Oh, the irony. They fired Van Gundy because they were worried he was going to leave. Excuse me. They were worried he was going to leave for an NBA coaching job, even though he hadn't coached in years, 10-plus years. And now they're going to probably have a guy in J.J. Redick who leaves them to take a job. Oh, well. Oh, well. But here's the problem for the Lakers. They went after a big fish, and then they failed to land the big fish. If you're the Lakers and your team is worth $6 billion, one of the crown jewel franchises in all of sport, when you go after a big fish, don't miss. If you're going to say, hey, Dan Hurley, we'd like to talk to you, and if Dan Hurley says, yeah, I'm listening, close the fucking deal. But they didn't. Cut two. Celtics take 2-0 series lead. Is it over? Too early to say that. It was Dick Motta who once famously said, it ain't over till the fat lady sings, much like the opera. That was back during the Bullets 78 championship run. It ain't over yet, but it's not looking good for the Mavericks. Whereas we know it's a make-or-miss league to a certain extent, that when you make your threes, you're going to win. When you miss them, you're not. And right now, Dallas is missing the ocean from the end of the pier. The Maverick players not named Luka have shot 3-for-31 from three-point range, not including garbage time. So 3-for-31, not including garbage time. Everyone else, Luka Doncic, the only guy holding things up. Kyrie, another terrible shooting night for him. 0-for-3 from outside. He's 0-for-8 now for the series and 7-for-18 total. So let's see, 7-for-18 and 6-for-19. That's 13-for-37. Woof. Derek White had a big block late in this game. It was probably a foul by Jaylen Brown with a push in the back. But what are you going to do? Jrue Holiday had a big night. Some Buck fans are like, God, should have never gotten rid of him. I think the best analogy, let me find out who said this, was the Bucks traded a cherry for a sundae. You had a guy in Jrue Holiday who was the cherry on top of the sundae, and Brad Stevens and the Celtics already had the sundae. But the Bucks realized we need more ice cream. And they got it in the form of Dame Lillard. But we'll see what this year brings. If Lillard doesn't produce more and stay healthier, then that trade's going to look worse and worse. But to direct compare the two, I saw somebody had a chart of the amount of touches, shots, dribble jumpers, and all kinds of other esoteric NBA stats with Jrue Holiday when he was with the Bucks the last 2 years versus the Celtics. And it's not even, it's night and day in terms of what they're asking him to do in Boston. But he had a big night, 26-11, including 11-14 shooting. And Dallas was 6-26 from outside, and that's that. Boston even sucked themselves from outside, 10-39, but it didn't matter. Tatum had 2 points at the half. Porzingis got hurt again, did give him 12, but it was 105-98, your final 2-0 Celtics, and the Mavericks are in a tight spot. Tight spot. Maybe they need more Tim Hardaway Jr. Can you believe Mike Wilbon said he wants Tim Hardaway Jr. to step up and help contribute? Here was Wilbon before the game.
Let me just say this. Dallas needs somebody else. Luka can't be himself physically. Not the way this game is starting. I'm going to nominate somebody. Tim Hardaway Jr., a veteran player who's been in big games, who was he a DNP in the first half? Uh-uh. Can't have that. So if we're going to pick somebody to help out, Josh knows Tim Hardaway Jr. can get hot and be important and be a factor in these games.
Yeah. Narrator, Tim Hardaway Jr. did not get off the bench at all in game two. He had 7 minutes of run in the first game of the series, has not scored a point apparently since the conference semis. Now, Wilbon is liked by just about everybody in the business. He is a guy who I think carries his position well in terms of just, you know, not being he won't big time you, basically. Everybody likes Wilbon. He's a respected elder statesman, but holy shit, what an airball of a take. How can you say, yes, I'm in touch with the team and I follow the league closely and I know what the Mavericks are going to do and say, I want a guy to step up who hasn't scored a point in two series and was a DNP for the game. He said he's got to step up. Yeah, not good. Maybe the Celtics are getting by because of their alt uniforms. This is something that I agree with. Alan Hahn on Twitter says, more boomer commentary you didn't ask for. The Celtics shouldn't wear black at home in the finals. How about ever? In fact, when we reach this level of playoffs, teams should wear white at home and dark jerseys on the road. That's it. This is the damn NBA finals. Argue with your grandpa. No, I will not argue with your grandpa. I'm there. These are the little things that bother me in sports. And I know you shouldn't let things like this bother you, but what's the old saying, the old Confucius saying? It's not the mountain that wears you out. It's the grain of sand in your shoe. There's too many grains of fucking sand in our shoes. Wednesday is game number 3 in Dallas. 8:30 Eastern time, and we'll see if the Mavericks can get off the mat. Let's talk Jason Tatum for a second. So Tatum had a bad night in game two, and there is a running commentary as to whether or not he is a true superstar in the league. He's a very good player. He is a star, I'll give him that, but he is not a superstar, I think, by any stretch. And he gets crushed for it, because that's kind of what we do as sports fans and media guys, is we crush guys who are good, but not as good as we think they should be. Who else is a star in sports who really isn't a star? Because I think Tatum is currently the title holder in that regard. Cut 4, get on the party bus. So there was an incredible scene, which thankfully could have been worse, but turned out to be everyone's going to be okay after getting some medical care. A bull at the Sisters Rodeo in Bend, Oregon, or Sisters, Oregon, technically. It's just north of Bend, Oregon. A bull got out of the ring and went amok in the concourse area outside the ring of the rodeo. There is footage, of course, cell phone footage, of course, horribly shot in vertical format, but don't get me started on that. And a woman ends up between the horns of the bull and gets flipped. Not once, but twice. because the first flip, she landed right back on the bull between the horns. And the bull, realizing this, had to go, oh, I thought I already flipped you once. Here, one more. Yeet! And does it again, at which time she crashes to the hard ground. I've watched this clip over and over and over multiple times. And what stuns me is the woman, with two men standing right next to her, clearly had to know something was afoot out in the concourse because people are screaming and running at this point. The bull is a good 20 to 30 feet away and starts to run towards the three of them, the two men and the one woman. All three of them stand dead still as if, oh, no big deal. And by the time the bull accelerates in the final couple of steps to lower its head and to flip her like a poker chip, she does not take a single step to the side, back, anywhere. What on earth? What on earth do people think? And it'd be easy to say, well, just like a woman, not knowing or not being concerned with the gravity of a wild 1,500-pound animal with angry intent and deadly horns, just like a woman, and not respect that and just stand there like, oh, what? Something is this? Don't hurt me, sweet little bull. But there's two men there as well. What the fuck are they doing? They should have grabbed her, pulled her aside, and they should have, you know, ducked behind one of the concession stands. They stood there. And I'm not saying she deserved it, but I will say a lesson probably was learned. It's a minimum 20 or more loop watch as a viral video. Oh, and did I mention the name of the bull? Party Bus. Ain't no party on the Party Bus that night in Sisters, Oregon. Cut five. Thailand is looking better all the time. They have strict laws in Thailand, from what I have heard. Very harsh laws against any kind of drug possession or drug trafficking. I think that is why the movie Brokeback Palace, Broke Down Palace? What's the movie with Claire Danes in it where she and a college-aged girlfriend get caught smuggling drugs and are thrown into a Thai prison? Anyway, I've heard they're very strict there. I've heard that you can get caned for being caught throwing bubblegum on the street, because who wants to step in, oh, gross, bubblegum? Well, we might say from afar, okay, Thailand goes too far. But what's going on these days in America makes me just shake my head and really turns my stomach when you think about the double standards. There's apparently a couple of teenagers who are being charged with felonies because they made skid marks on a pride flag painted on the street. And yet at the same time, protesters, air quotes, who spray painted Free Gaza on monuments in downtown D.C. were not even arrested. There's video of people throwing things at park rangers trying to maintain order and protect these civic monuments, and yet nothing gets done. I mean, again, how can we even have a society with these kind of double standards? Also, when it comes to things being painted on the ground, where's the approval process for that? How do you submit your proposal to say, okay, I'd like to paint this thing on the ground in a public thoroughfare that represents this cause that matters to me? What if you said, I want to paint a anti-abortion street banner, and I want to put it right next to the pride flag? I'm not painting over it. Oh, you have your thing that you're very passionate about? Well, I have my thing. What paperwork do you go to fill that out? How does that get approved? Is somebody going to challenge this legally? Because it's just crazy. And again, aside from the heat, the fact I don't know the language, it's very far away, and it's still mostly a third world country, except for the tourism, Thailand is looking better all the time. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. Cut six, opposite world. So Caitlin Clark, I'm not going to belabor this point. We spent enough time on it yesterday. I was thinking, what if the exact opposite basic settings of this story were in play here? Let's just imagine for a second that Caitlin Clark was black, that Caitlin Clark had a girlfriend, that Caitlin Clark went to a school like, say, South Carolina, and yet everything else was the same. Two-time player of the year, the number one pick in the draft, doing just fine as a rookie. The stats are not great in every category, but they're really good in a couple for sure. Assists and points, she's fine. Can you imagine that she would be given the same kind of treatment if you were to just flip those three settings? If she went to a SEC school with a black head coach that was mostly black, and that she was black and had a girlfriend, not a boyfriend. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. You know, in a million years, this would not be the case, and that people would be far more outraged by it than they are. Mike Tomlin got an extension, cut seven. Just what Steeler fans who are sick of the standard is the standard. Because the standard lately since Ben Roethlisberger for the Steelers has been mediocrity. However, winning mediocrity, 17 straight years out of 17 as head coach, winning record or non-losing record. How about that? Tomlin's new extension, three-year extension, that'll take him to 2027, I believe, will take him up to 20 years even as head coach of the Steelers. It's going to be a fun year for those who are fascinated by watching this iconic franchise try to figure out, okay, what are we doing now? They've got this quarterback, two-headed, ugly behemoth in the form of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and it is, I think it's one of the best stories that'll unfold this year in the NFL. Will it work? Oh, no, I'm betting against it. But is it going to be interesting? I'm absolutely there. Cut eight. Remember when Twitter was doomed? Elon Musk takes over Twitter about 2 years ago now, come October, maybe a little bit more, can't remember. And he fired a massive amount of people. 80% of their workforce, something like 5,600 people. And many people said, this is crazy. He's just gutting the place. They won't even be able to function. They won't even be able to turn the servers on. Well, turns out that was totally wrong. There is something in business called Parkinson's Law, which states that the more people you have, the less work actually gets done. Because you hire more people and you say, okay, do this, this, and the other. They then start to fill their time doing things that are more and more trivial and less crucial to actually whatever it is your business has to do to make money. And I found it fascinating. I got to read more on this, but I don't disagree. Lean and mean is the way to go. Now, nobody likes mass layoffs for just the reason of headcounts. Like, there's too many people. I know in radio, we've had certain downsizings where they've gotten rid of guys. And I'm like, we need that guy. Like, he's really good. He's a great producer on the side. He's a great fill-in producer, does weekends, knows where all the sound bites are. He cannot be making that much money. What do you mean he was let go? Well, you know, headcount reductions. We've got to throw a couple of sacrificial W-2s on the pile. But when he laid off 80% of the workers, it didn't affect things at all. They even rolled out a bunch of new features. Now, you still may hate the direction and the tone of Twitter or X.com. When are they going to get rid of, when are they just going to push X? When are media outlets going to be stop saying, formerly known as Twitter? X.com, formerly known as Twitter. But it seems to be running just fine. Now, is it making money? It's hard to say. I read different reports on that. All I know is, like I said when he took over Twitter, I said, for everyone who wants to say this guy's going to fuck it up or it's going to be a complete disaster, do you really want to bet against him when you look at his track record? I know I wouldn't. Cut 9. Hey, Titsworth, get in the game. There are good names and there are great names. And then there is legendary names when it comes to sports. And apparently this name is on his driver's license. It's on his birth certificate. Drew Titsworth for the Clemson Tigers. What a name. And he happens to wear the perfect number for a guy named Titsworth. 00. Yeah, you can't beat that one. Hey, Titsworth, get in the game. And then there's this. Let's talk about my man, Notorious J.A.Y. I want to thank everybody for sending me your thoughts on his appearance last week. And he obviously started out hot and came at me and didn't like some things I had been saying about him. And I took it in stride. I was a little bit taken aback. Many people said, you know, you handled it very well. I would have been fuck that guy when it comes to Jay. But you were very reserved in that regard. And I was reserved because I wanted to hear what my friend was saying. I wanted to understand from his point of view what it was that had bothered him. And I get it from his standpoint, even though my affinity for Jay as a friend remains at the highest level it could be, 10 out of 10. Because he and I have been through a lot together in media. My respect for his knowledge of sports, his overall intellect, his recall of stuff that we did together in radio, he is my producer, and then beyond, is second to none. Despite all that, and despite the fact that, hell, I made sure to get him hooked up with the Steakhouse Confidential, the Power Lunch at the Palm, where he and his lovely bride came along and ate for free, and we had a great time with him and Carol Maloney. Despite all of that, it doesn't matter. Like, it'd be easy for me to go, I can't believe he was coming at me like that. Doesn't he know I love him and he's a friend and I was just busting balls? And I mean, fuck, dude, I made sure to get him a steak lunch, for God's sakes. What the hell? I could have been that way. I think in a younger version of me, I would have been that way. But instead, I'm like, all right, okay, you know what? He felt disrespected. And the one thing that you learn as you get older is it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what other people feel. And feelings, you cannot argue with feelings. He felt disrespected. And so therefore, I'm like, okay, Fair enough. I do make plenty of mistakes. I mean, lots. I mean, more mistakes than most? Don't know. The irony is that Jay chided me because I was apologizing on a previous podcast for the mistakes I made. So he was like, don't fucking apologize. Fuck these people. A number of you also said that you just wouldn't be able to listen to any future Jay appearances because he says, I hate your listeners. I hate them. And there was like this venom coming from him. I know Jay a little bit more to the extent that I don't think it's, I think it's a wrestling-like hatred. And I also kind of discount it because, well, okay, who cares if he, quote, hates you, unquote? Is he bringing anything interesting to the table? Jay's one of these guys who he'll text me out of the blue saying, ooh, next time we're on, I want to talk about this. Or he'll come up with ideas like for the Yacht Rock draft, which I think was a great episode. And he doesn't have to do that. In fact, none of these guys who come on my podcast have to do this. I am indebted to them. They're doing me a favor because I don't pay them. I've given them gifts. I try to hook them up whenever possible. I say to them all the time, look, if this is not convenient for you or if you just don't enjoy doing it, just let me know. Ron Thomas, who he and I are still dear friends and play golf whenever we can, he has just said, I just like to be under the radar now. Don't care to be out there. And I couldn't be happier to accommodate him in that regard. So I'm not mad at Jay for that exchange last week. I appreciate that he said what he said. Not going to understand where he's coming from. And so therefore, no harm, no foul. I don't know when he'll be on again, but he will be. If I have my way, I'd like to have him on. But again, he's doing me a favor. I'm asking for his time, which is valuable, like everyone else's. So, you know, it'll just have to be whenever, I guess, he feels like, hey, you know, I'd like to come on again. And we'll go forward on that. Hell, another thing too, you know, Jay has been through a major medical crisis that he was kind and open enough to share with us about his stroke or near stroke and what happened and everything else like that. Somebody who really, quote, hates the listeners of this podcast does not share that, is not that open about that. And, you know, there's no telling, you know, that those kind of episodes can change people. Sometimes your brain chemistry changes in ways that you're not fully aware of. And I'm not saying that's the case with Jay. I'm giving him the grace and the leeway of, holy shit, you know, who knows how this might have changed him from either a physical standpoint or just a life perception standpoint. But I bust my guy Brian Butch's balls all the time when he botches simple words. And so that's kind of where I was coming from, that, you know, and I laugh when you botch the names like of certain things by just a little bit, by a letter or two, basically. So Games of Thrones, it doesn't fucking matter. Jay and I, booyakasha, respect to the very end. Then there's this. My man Neil in Rockville tweeted me about the women's basketball situation with Caitlin Clark and how there's some people that want to make it just very simple. Well, is she one of the best 12 players? If not, she should be left off the team. Ignoring the goldmine of marketing and potential money that could fall in line with bringing your best star attraction to the highest profile international basketball event every 4 years. You can't discount the money. And so Neil in Rockville made sure to tweet out several of his favorite money sound bites that I've played all the time. And they include the great Danny DeVito, and I forget what movie this is from. Tom Levero turned me on to this bite. I had never seen it before. Everybody needs money. That's why they call it money.
Everybody needs money. That's why they call it money.
It's funny because it makes no sense. But yes.
Everybody needs money. That's why they call it money.
The other bite he mentioned was the bite about that's what the money is for from the great episode of Mad Men.
It's your job. I give you money.
You never say thank you.
That's what the money is for.
And then he said, never forget my favorite, which is we have major corporations sponsoring this event.
You are tampering with forces you can't understand. We have major corporations sponsoring this event.
So it got me to diving into my archive of every soundbite I've got that has money in it. So I did a search for money, and oh my God, I'd forgotten all the money soundbites I had. Here's a small sampling. Dukes of Hazzard, Boss Hogg.
The money you're protecting is my money.
Homer Simpson.
I'm no longer the money-driven workaholic I once was.
Beverly Hills Cop.
You got the money? You want to do business or what? I have the money and I do want to do business, but with you, I ain't doing nothing in front of this dude because this dude is a cop.
Then you have the news bite on Roger Goodell's money.
Roger Goodell took a big pay cut in recent years, but don't feel too bad for the commissioner of the NFL, who is still getting by, raking in $34.1 million in 2014.
Then you've got long-form money bites like Stewie in Family Guy. You got my money?
I don't know. Not psychic, man. I'm just saying it would probably be better for everybody if you had the money tomorrow.
Yeah, all right. I'll see what I can do.
Sweet. Sweet. Great. How's everything else going?
Good.
All right. All right. See you later. Don't forget. Nah, you're not going to forget.
Nah, you're not going to forget.
Stewie. Hey.
Hey there. So, it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh, you know what? Just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it. Sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. That's good, OJ.
Ah! Ah!
Yeah, that hurt.
Ah!
That hurt.
What the hell?
Yeah.
I love the surprise attack with random objects. I've been watching a lot of YouTube Sopranos cut-ups of various things, and I've just been mentally noting all the attacks with random objects. Tony Soprano beating a guy up with a bucket of ice, another money-related bite. He's like, conserve! You know, we're running a business here. Oh, that's the other one. I forgot to include that. We're running a business here, Tony Soprano. They beat up one of the Hasidic Jews who were shaking down the hotels with the bell on the desk of the check-in. Paulie beat the shit out of him with that. Christopher beat up the writer friend of his who helped co-write Cleaver with his crystal award he had gotten, the Humanitas Award that he mocked Christopher for not knowing.
It feels so good, does it?
Ah!
No.
And then there's Stewie with the glass of OJ right to Brian's eye.
Yeah, that's what happens, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what happens.
And then my favorite long-form money soundbite. Feel like Casey Kasem. And now for our number one money soundbite. This is from The Onion of a fake television cable news debate on the money hole in America.
With all economic factors indicating the U.S. is heading for a prolonged recession, some experts are suggesting that the government should stop dumping all of our money into an enormous hole. Is it time to close the national money hole?
That kind of talk is alarmist and irresponsible.
America needs the money hole.
Right. Driving truckloads of money out into the New Mexico desert and dumping into a massive pit is one of America's greatest traditions.
It's a national treasure.
Look, no reasonable person is advocating that we are going to stop destroying money. But the American people earn that money, they have the right to decide how it should be destroyed.
Well, so you are in favor of personal money holes.
Yes, people should be able to dump money into a hole in their backyard or flush it down the toilet. Let the free market decide the most efficient way of destroying
my
money.
My father worked two jobs so he'd have money to put in the money hole, and he never complained.
You can't depend on private money holes to destroy that money.
Duncan's right. I mean, some of this money could blow away.
Yes.
Some of it may not be correctly buried.
Birds,
I mean, there's too many variables.
That's why the government pours gasoline into the money hole and lights it on fire to make sure all the money is destroyed.
I love the money fire.
It's just like they say, you have to throw money in a hole and set it on fire to make money.
Okay, but find the cheapest way to destroy that money, like shredding it up and feeding it to hogs.
Tell that to the digger who's worked the graveyard shift for 20 years. Digging the hole is all he knows.
The sheer number of shovelers that it takes to maintain that hole.
But if we're talking about closing holes, I mean, what about the soldier hole? How about the energy hole? I mean, I can't believe that closing the money hole is even on the table.
Don't close
the money
hole. Why
are you pushing this pro-hole agenda? Is the money hole lobby paying you?
I resent that accusation. I do not take money from special interests. And if I did, I would throw it right in the hole because I am a patriot.
If you love America, you throw money in its hole.
Oh, God. I could have ended with Warren Zevon, send lawyers, guns, and money. I did not. I could have used Rihanna, bitch, better have my money. I did not. I could have even stooped as low to play for you the Antonio Brown whole lot of money. I did not. Instead, I've got the great Steve Miller Band with Take the Money and Run. Thanks for listening. And I think this was a good solo run. If you like today's podcast or the podcast in general, do rate and review. Man, as it really helps the algorithm. I cannot stress that enough. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend. Tomorrow, we're back to the guests, and we will see everyone next time. Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up.